This is a different ball game on Classic Hits with me, Louise Cantillon, and the lovely Shane Dowling. Shane, we're back for another week. Surely a good sign.
Good sign, I think. I don't think we did too bad a job last week, because if we did, I don't think we'd be sitting here. But anyway, it was great fun and looking forward to this and also many more weeks ahead.
I love that you're saying that. And also, we've got to give a special shout out to all of the lovely texts we got last week, because so many really nice listeners got in touch to say they were tuning in the show and that they enjoyed what we were doing. So it's always nice to hear that, isn't it?
It is. It was amazing to read some lovely comments that came in, and fair play to people. I really hope that they were true to what they said. I suppose, and just to let people know that they can get in touch with the show on 087 188 0008,
and you can also check us out on Twitter. We're at Classic Hits Radio. And before we continue, we must give a massive shout out to show sponsor Michael Gleeson Shoes in Limerick, one of Ireland's leading retailers in men's, ladies and children's footwear. You can check them out online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Shane, we've got to mention, right, it is the elephant in the room, and I know that producer Dahi is there looking in with us with puppy dog eyes, but we both have a strut in our step. Obviously, great weekend for Limerick.
Yeah, fantastic weekend, and delighted to be down there and listen, put in a great performance. Looking forward now to Sunday week, to Munster final, and you know, they're going very well, and long may it last.
Love that you're saying that. Listen, I have to laugh, because during the week I got onto you, and in true Shane Dowling style, I asked you to kind of see, could you get a little voice clip off an Irish celebrity that might share their thoughts on the GAA Championship with us this week. You went and you got onto the two most proud tip men you could possibly find. Did you do that on purpose, Shane?
Yeah, but you're here. Everyone knows the two Johnnies, and sure, all they do is ramble about tips. So when you said that to me, Louise, I said, oh, who could I knock a bit of banter off now? So I went to get the two Johnnies. There was only one problem. I could only get one, because Johnny B was more than willing to do it, but Johnny Smacks, I think, still had his head in the pillow after last weekend. So no, fair play to Johnny B for coming on, and I asked him his thoughts, and this is what he had to say.
Hello, this is Johnny B from the two Johnnies. At first I was delighted the championship was going ahead, but now the Tipperary have been bet by Limerick, I hope to call the whole thing off. Pure disgrace, lads. Tipperary badly missing their supporters. Like, having no one at the games now, that wouldn't affect counties like Clare, or that there'd be no one at their games anyway, do you know what I mean? Limerick, very lucky to beat Tip, you know. Limerick got like 25 or 26 kind of fluky scores that you wouldn't get every day of the week, you know. Couple of bounces of the ball and Tip would have had it. Someone said Noel McGrath picked it off the ground. That man, he could pick a ball out of the fire if he wants, that fella. Looking forward to how the season goes. Obviously, I'm going to hype Limerick up to the max now. It's Limerick's to lose.
Johnny B, what an absolute character. I had to laugh at that sentence there. Noel McGrath having a bye in Tipperary to pick a slitter out of the fire if he had to. We'll not mention the war, Shane.
No, we won't. And I tell you, Louise, if Tipperary did want to win the game, we could have had a Maradona moment.
But you look, it didn't happen. And I reckon the two lads will take great joy, Shane, in ripping the pee out of us at some stage. We'll probably reap what we sow if Limerick ever go on to lose a game.
Maybe so, but I can tell you, if that does happen, my battery will be dead.
Okay, Shane, we've got to keep moving on. The Sligo footballers pulling out of the championship, and that tweet from Tomás O'Shea, and I know you have an opinion on it.
I suppose for anyone that does know, Sligo have had a number of confirmed COVID cases, and they've had they've had another 4 or 5 since. So I think they've 10 in total players with confirmed COVID, and also a backroom member. And you know, basically he put out a big tweet basically, and you know, he said, why is it all the weaker counties seem to be in bother with this? You know, does it suit them? And Dublin, Cork and Limerick have huge populations, and there's not a geek. Either they are lying, or that the other counties are really unlucky. And I suppose from my own perspective, nobody lies when it comes to COVID, Louise, especially not teams. They've got professional people with them. They've got doctors as they walk into the training grounds, their temperatures are taken. And I mean, they've 10 people with confirmed COVID. By putting out that tweet, you're only leaving yourself wide open for abuse. Like, no one was ever going to come back to Tomás and say, I agree with you. So, and I think that will really upset and annoy definitely Sligo, and maybe the so-called weaker counties as well. I wouldn't agree with it. I think you have to be very careful with this thing. And
we had a chat about that survey the GPA sent out to players, and I know that the survey asked players if they were pro or against the championship going ahead, and one of the findings of the survey was actually that a lot of the less competitive counties voted that the championship didn't go ahead. So I wonder, is there a little glimmer of truth in what Tomás O'Shea is trying to say, but perhaps he's saying it in a very harsh manner?
Louise, like, there's no truth in it at all. Like, you know, to come out and say they're lying, and they've got so many confirmed, I'd respect them 100%. The hardest thing for Sligo to do was to pull out of this championship, because of all their other players, Has anyone come out and asked how them 10 players are feeling or how the backroom member is feeling? What good is football when it comes down to health? So, no, there's no truth in it at all, I don't think, anyway.
Shane, very quickly, tell me what games we've chosen to speak about this week.
So you have Cork versus Kerry in the Munster Senior Football Semi-Final. You have Mayo versus Roscommon in the Connacht Football Semi-Final. You have Cork versus Dublin in Round 1 of the Hurling Qualifier. Cork versus Kerry in the Ladies Football Championship. Cork versus Galway in the All-Ireland Camogie Championship.
On the women, you love to see it. All of that is on the way very shortly here on Classic Hits. You are listening to A Different Ball Game with Michael Gleeson Shoes Limerick, one of Ireland's leading retailers in men's, ladies and children's footwear. You can check them out now online at michaelgleesonshoes.com.
A Different Ball Game with Louise Cantillon and Shane Dowling.
This is A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits with Michael Gleeson Shoes Limerick, one of Ireland's leading retailers in men's, ladies and children's footwear. You can check them out right now online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Right, Shane, we are back getting stuck into block two of the show. Loads to chat about. Where we go next?
Yeah, Louise, we'll move on to the shtick and ball. Cork versus Dublin in round one of the All-Ireland Hurling Qualifiers. One of these teams, their season will be over this weekend. Louise, did you watch Cork versus Waterford last weekend? What did you think?
I was surprised to see Waterford come out on top in that game, because historically, and certainly over the last few years, Cork have always been a team that Limerick have struggled with. I mean, you know this from your playing days last year when Cork beat you, and even the year before that. They're a tricky opponent. Why did Waterford come out on top on that one?
Well, first of all, Louise, you're probably the only person in the country that feels sorry for Cork. But anyway, why was it so tricky? Listen, I just thought the brand of hurling Cork played last year, and indeed for the last 2 years, was totally different to how they played last weekend. Over the last 2 years, they had a tactic where Daniel Kearney was dropping short from the half-forward line. They played the ball through him, through their half-forwards, and they worked the ball up the field before just delivering a 30 or 40-yard pass. Contrast that to last weekend, where their halfbacks were getting the ball and they were just launching it time after time, 50-60 yards, and made a hero out of Tadhg De Burca. Don't get me wrong though, he had a great game, his use of the possession was fantastic, but he shouldn't have got as much possession in the first place. I mean, if your half forwards drop short, you need to play him, Louise. There's no point in hitting the ball over their head. And I suppose I want, like, did I feel sorry for the Cork forwards? I don't know, but I mean, if you're a forward, and I know this only too well, and the quality ball that's coming in is muck, well then the return is going to be fairly very, very poor. Dublin, in fairness, Louise, they're a very, very physical team. Like, obviously, they did a very, very poor opening half versus Kilkenny. But my God, did they try to pull that back, and they nearly got a draw out of the game at least. So I think Cork will definitely look at their style of play, where Dublin will look at their physicality side of it and try to mix it up with Cork. So I suppose it'll be a case of what comes up trumps at the end.
And I'm just going to ask on the Dublin side of things, Chris Crummie in the half forward line, a player who we know for so many years in the backs, what do you make of that move?
Yeah, it's interesting. I never enjoyed marking him when he was half back and I was half forwards. Big, tall, strong, physical man. So it's interesting that they put him up there. One thing I don't understand is, and I said it even after the first game, Eamon Dillon for me is one of the top forwards in the country. I do think he's really, really good, very pacey, and anytime he gets the ball, it's goals number one, and if the goal isn't there, he pops it over the bar. When he came on last weekend, he was fantastic. I'd love him to start this weekend.
Interesting. Okay, I know that Cork are going to have fire in their bellies, equally will Dublin, but particularly coming off the back of that loss, I reckon Cork are going to be up for this. Shane Collett, who do you reckon will win this game?
Well, if you're going for Cork, I'll go for Dublin.
Woohoo! Right, we'll have a chat next week about that one. Right, it is time to jump straight in to football now, because it is a massive weekend in football as well, and we know it's straight knockouts, so that makes it all the more exciting. Let's kick off with the Munster semi-final. Cork take on Kerry. We caught up during the week with Darren O'Sullivan, the 2009 All-Ireland winning captain with Kerry. Here's what Darren had to say.
Yeah, I suppose going into it, Kerry haven't been given much of a test by Cork over the last couple of years. Last year, right, was probably the best test we got. And I think that bit of a scare has probably kicked Kerry into gear in the last two games. I think the defensive setup they've got in place now is going to be hard for Cork to break down. Before that, I would have been wary enough. They're a very dangerous team. I think going down to Division 3 wasn't ideal, but I think for them, they had to go backwards to go forwards. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, I would have been wary enough of them. But with the preparation Kerry have had in the last two games, the confidence from winning the league, I don't think there'll be any way Cork can stop them this year. Having said that, I do think it's only a matter of time before Cork are back at the top table again. This year, I just think from the look I've got of Kerry is that they're very tuned in. They look physically and mentally ready for championship, and I just can't see Cork sticking with them. From a Kerry point of view, it's great. I think we're gonna go straight through to a Munster final, and I think we'll be in a good place going into to latter stages of competitions. Wouldn't say it lightly, but I'm very pleased with how Kerry are going. I think it's going to take a very, very, very good team to stop them.
Kerry are expected to win this, right? But what do you think Cork need to do to make a game out of this, you know, and to cause an upset in the Kerry panel?
They need to kneel down the night before beside their bed and pray that Kerry's David Clifford doesn't go to town on them. No, listen, Louise, Kerry are hot favourites, and they've you know, in fairness to Peter Keane, he seems to have a very good team with him, both management and players. Obviously, the talk is all about David Clifford, and he's an exceptional player, but I think it'd be foolish to think that he's their only marquee guy. And the beauty about that is that they will be keeping a close eye on him, and that's where you can often find other forwards popping up and doing the scores. So, listen, Kerry have been very, very impressive. Cork probably are a couple of steps below them, but it's a Munster semi-final, and any person that would rule out Cork, any team in a Cork versus Kerry derby nearly, would be foolish. But it is hard to see past Kerry, isn't it?
I mean, I actually obviously have to agree that I think, you know, if you're judging on the run of form Kerry have had, it is very hard to see past that. And as Darren O'Sullivan rightly said there, you know, they are on a great streak in terms of the team. They're physically in great form. David Clifford, you mentioned, is phenomenal. And I mean, I hate to ever think that one man is a standalone player for a team. You know, there's a lot of players who have a lot to do in this game.
There is, and as I said, Louise, sometimes when you have a marquee forward, and I think Kerry are very useful when you go down through the years with the Gooch and, you know, all the O'Shea's that were there before him. So what generally happens is, I would imagine that the Cork management team will be saying, what can we do to stop David Clifford, and putting a plan in place to stop him. But what can often happen then is that the other players who they don't show as much attention to can pop up. And but the other side of that too, Louise, is that David Clifford has come up against loads of opposition and they still haven't been able to stop him. So he is phenomenal. Like, and I think sometimes a lot of players can be known as overrated. I think he is top class. But as we said, they have ample ammunition, and I think they have more ammunition than Cork.
Okay, good point on that. And I mean, we're giving a lot of focus here to Clifford, but I also want to ask, Shane, the importance of Sean O'Shea and what he brings to the Kerry attack. Another big player on that panel.
Yeah, and like, if you look at the Dublin footballers over the last couple of years, Dean Rock has been their main free taker and his strike rate is colossal. But without knowing the actual facts of it, Sean O'Shea has been just as important to Kerry, and his dead ball kicking over recent years has been unbelievable. Like, in high pressure games with, you know, 80,000 people there of before. So his direct running is savage as well. So he's a very, very important player to this Kerry team.
For sure. We heard Darren O'Sullivan say there he reckons they'll go all the way to the Munster final. Do you see it happening?
I do, but I must say that Limerick are playing Tipperary on the other side, and wouldn't it be great if we two Limerick teams look forward to in the Munster finals? So yeah, listen, I'd imagine Kerry will definitely get there this weekend. I'd be surprised if we got a shock result.
Right, we have got to keep the foot down, Shane, and continue on, but we will stick to Big Ball on this one. The Connacht semi-final this weekend sees Mayo take on Roscommon. Now, a little earlier, myself and producer Dahi off air were having a laugh, right, about the Hollywood A-list celebrities that follow Roscommon that are up for the Rossies. Of course you do, Chris O'Dowd.
I do, of course, yeah.
He has been flat out tweeting all week for the Rossies, so they've got some powers in high places hoping that they're going to win this clash against Mayo.
They have, and if you remember back to a couple of years ago as well, the famous Paddy the Barber went viral on RT when he did a fantastic interview as well. So yes, they have some fantastic and high profile supporters.
Unreal stuff. You spoke about dancing on the crossroads in Wexford last weekend. I reckon Roscommon would be some place to go for the sesh.
Would you think?
Oh, defo.
They seem like gas men all the same, yeah.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Tell me, Roscommon v Mayo, it's going to be a great game. Obviously, Mayo going in favourites. How do you see it going, Shane?
Yeah, well, I think, Louise, I kind of have a soft spot for Mayo anyway, because I suppose people in Limerick could feel the heartbreak of not winning All-Ireland for such a long time. So my heart could be ruling my head here, but I do think Mayo will win. You know, I think their positional changes this year have worked a treat. Putting Aidan O'Shea into the edge of the square, I think, has been a great move. They've got obviously got the two O'Connors, Tommy Conroy in there as well. So they've got great players up front that are game changers, really, and can do anything with the ball. Like, in terms of Roscommon, like, their manager, don't forget, is Anthony Cunningham. You know, he was the Galway Senior Hurling manager a good number of years ago, and brought Brian Cody down to home straight twice when he brought in All-Ireland to the replay. So he's very experienced as well. They've got some great players as well, like Enda Smith and Connor Cox. So listen, I think we're in for a great game. game. Remember, 12 months ago, Roscommon beat Mayo in their own back garden. Now Mayo go to Roscommon's back garden, and I think they'll be looking for revenge.
Well, I must ask you, you mentioned Aidan O'Shea, so very quickly, I know he's such an important player for Mayo, Shane, but tell me this, are you a fan of seeing him at full forward, or do you reckon the size of him, the power of him, is he more impactful further out in the field?
I think he's ideally positioned in the edge of the square. I mean, if you look back, Michael Murphy with Donegal the year they won the All-Ireland in the edge of the square. The star, Kieran Donaghy, in the edge of the square with Kerry. Like, so down through the years, the success has been in the edge of the square with big men. So I think throwing Aidan in there, like, you can launch it in whatever way you like, high, low, and he'll get a hold of it. So I would be a big fan of it, and I'd love to see him having a successful year in there this year.
So you're going to tip Mayo to win. Do you reckon the Rossies will fear them, or are they going to go in confident at the game?
They definitely won't be fearing them anyway. I'd say if anything, they'll look forward to this clash, but no, they'll be looking forward to it, but I just think that Mayo might get the revenge this year.
Another clash this weekend sees Cork and Kerry play each other again, but this time in the Ladies Football Championship. The game is happening in Austin Stacks Park, and I felt awful last week, Shane, we never mentioned the women, so delighted that this week we were able to track down my pal and current Cork footballer Orla Farmer to get her thoughts on this weekend's game.
Yes, very excited to kick off the first round of Championship this weekend against Kerry, our rivals. It certainly has been, you know, a whirlwind of a year, and it's hard to believe that it's been almost, I think, 8 months since our last competitive league game. So personally, I'm delighted, you know, to get an opportunity to put on the Cork jersey and play Championship this year. I suppose it's going to be a very different year, you know, with fewer games and empty stadiums. And of course, the colder, wetter winter conditions, which won't be ideal. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think you have to focus on the positives. You know, as a nation, we've been starved of Gaelic games and watching competitive games. So no doubt the televised ladies Gaelic football games will provide entertainment and, you know, help lift the spirits of families and young children during lockdown now over the next few weeks. And it was also really, really positive to hear that the televised Ladies Gaelic football games last weekend had a higher viewership than expected, which is fantastic for the game. And, you know, it gives an opportunity for young girls and women to get behind Ladies Gaelic football and support us and, you know, build that kind of positive momentum, particularly now coming into the winter months. So overall, yeah, like really, really excited and grateful to be able to represent my county. You know, it's always an honour to do that, and you've only such a short career span playing at a high level, so every game counts and every training session counts. So, you know, hopefully it'll be a good year and a positive year for the Rebels.
Yeah, that was great to hear from Cork's Orla Farmer. Louise, she seems to be absolutely buzzing for this weekend, but I suppose what's very, I suppose, hard to believe really is that it's 8 months since their last competitive game.
That's it. I mean, it's a long time since those girls have togged out with their county. But what you've got to remember, Shane, I suppose, is that they've been playing with their clubs as well. And there was a massive Cork club county final between West Cork and Moranabbey and Mallow from my teaching days. Of course, I've got a connection with the Moranabbey girls, but they went in favourites to win. The women from West Cork down around the Beira Peninsula beat them. So they've got an incredible team. Like, you know yourself from playing, you know, male teams in Cork. It's such a massive county. People travel from far and wide to play. So I'd imagine that they're absolutely buzzing to have their county colours back on and be heading to Tralee this weekend.
I would imagine so. And as you alluded to there, Louise, and rightly so, it was a fantastic win for West Cork. Like, but I suppose what's very important over I suppose the last 2 weeks and the coming weeks ahead is that there's going to be many games here now that are going to be televised, and because I suppose of what's going on and that no people can attend these games, people are going to sit down, and I'd imagine that their viewership is going to be a lot higher than it would be in recent years. And I think it's only rightly so, because I mean, I see it at home in the Pearshig. Like, I see the young girls and indeed the older girls coming in. I mean, they put a huge amount of work into it as well, and I know there's huge debate going on now and a lot of publicity, I suppose, kind of negative publicity over the last couple of weeks, where the Camogie players and the ladies footballers don't get, I suppose, what they should get in terms of the team's expenses and the, you know, everything that goes with it, like, you know, the food after trainings and food after matches. And I don't think it's fair. They put in a huge amount of effort, and it's great to see, and it's going to be great to see a lot of these games games that are going to play, take place on TV over the coming weeks. And you can hear from Marla there, like, they're only delighted to take part, and I'm certainly looking forward to it anyway.
We know that Cork are going in favourites to this game. Of course, we've seen them there or thereabouts when it comes to the All-Ireland final over the last number of years, so I reckon that it's going to be a cracking game either way. Right, let's continue on, because we are almost out of time on today's show. You are listening to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits with Michael Gleeson's Shoes Limerick. You can check them out now online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. We caught up with All-Ireland winner for Wexford, Ursula Jacob, all about the camogie this weekend. She is a woman who had some great things to say, so have a listen to this.
For most camogie fans, the Galway-Cork game this coming weekend is one that we've all looked forward to. Based on the All-Ireland semi-final last year, there was only a point between the sides, so I think it's going to be a really close game again this weekend. For me, Galway have probably looked the more balanced and stronger side coming into this game. There's huge competition in that Galway panel, and they've had a big boost with some of the Sarsfields girls, the McGrath sisters returning. Tara Kenny has returned from injury. And for me, Cork are probably rebuilding the team slightly after losing some of the bigger, more well-known players like Orla Cotter, Aoife Murray and Gemma O'Connor was missing last week in their win against Wexford. So for me at the moment, Galway look like the strongest side, but no doubt Paddy Murray is going to have his Cork team well set up for a huge battle up in Galway, and it's one game I'm definitely looking forward to.
Ursula Jacob there with some really great points. Always good to hear from her. And Shane, I must admit, I'm feeling the same. I'm really buzzed for this game. Look, it's a really early stage to see these two teams come up against each other. It's only the final round of the group stage, and we know how tight it was last year between these two sides. It came down to just a point in the All-Ireland semi-final. Do you see the game being as tight this weekend?
I do, Louise. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't. I mean, like, Galway obviously beat Cork by a point last year and went on to win the All-Ireland final, 3-14 to 17 points. Like, Cork, you know, I think last year was the first time since 2014 that Cork didn't get to an All-Ireland final. So, you know, and what can often happen there, Louise, is you go there for a couple of years, then I suppose that bit of hunger might just, you know, unintentionally might go. Like, but if that was the case last year, you can be damn sure that that'll be back this year, and they'll also want to get revenge in Galway. So, like, they're, you know, arguably over the last 3 years, you know, they've been the All-Ireland winners. Like, so I don't see any reason why this one won't go down to the wire. But I would suspect that Cork, you know, would be a small bit fired up after what went on last year, losing that game by a single point.
So Shane, similarly to Ursula, you reckon that Galway are going to come into this game as favourites, all guns blazing, but you're expecting the Rebels to come out fighting and to pip them at the post and maybe take away a win on this one.
I am, Louise. It's Cork for me. I think they'll get a small bit of revenge on last year, and there's some great girls there, so yeah, it's a Cork win for me.
Brilliant. Well, look, it remains to be seen this weekend. We are, of course, chatting about Cork v Galway in the All-Ireland Camogie Championship. It is the final round of the group stages this weekend. Shane, it is nearly time for our final round of the show. We are pretty much out of time, so we're going to finish the show as we said we would do every week with Dowling's quickfire round. Are you ready for this?
Like last week, Louise, ready as always.
Right, let's jump straight in. Shane, this week, who is your player to watch?
Tommy Conroy, Mayo footballer. He's been scoring goals all year, or year since COVID has started.
So give me a good bet. How many goals will he score against Roscommon?
2.
Ooh, nice. Okay, you're confident. The tactic to look out for this weekend, Shane.
Will Cork play the ball through the lines, or will they go launching ball like they did last weekend?
You've got something out for Cork, do you?
I don't. I just love to see him play the ball through the lines.
Right, and finally, Shane, who do you fancy an underdog or a potential upset this weekend?
I promise I'm not being biased here, Louise, but the Limerick footballers versus Tipperary are underdogs. They've been flying it this year. Billy Lee's a legend. So while I'm hoping they win, I genuinely do believe that they are a good shout for an underdog this weekend.
Brilliant stuff. Look, you'd love to see it. Shane has promised that for each and every one who texts in, he will reply to you all individually after the show. So thank you to everyone who got in touch this week. You are, of course, listening to A Different Ballgame on Classic Hits with Michael Gleeson Shoes. Check them out now online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Shane, that is us all out of time. We'll do it again next week from 6:30. Until then, be good.
Take care.